The NSR Media Network presents Out of the Park, bringing you the human side of sports. And now, here's your host, Barry Davis.
Hey, it's September, folks, and the Blue Jays are playing meaningful baseball. That's right. The postseason is a possibility. Welcome to the program, along with Tom Forth. I am Barry Davis, and on our show this week, we're going to be joined by a guy that has been on this program many times, but this is the first time that he'll be on the show as a Major League Baseball player. Jordan Romano will join us. The other times he was Blue Jay prospect. Now he's Blue Jay reliever. Phenomenal reliever. Yeah, he's on the injured list right now, but he'll be back, and he's going to be huge for the Blue Jays down the stretch. And this is a real cool chat, Tom, because we really dig deep into his journey to the big leagues and a real twisty-turny journey it has been for him. We'll find out about the injury and a bit of a scare he had when he suffered the injury. And interestingly, his stories about what it's like playing baseball in 2020.
Yeah.
It's different.
Very.
Yeah. Not quite NHL, NBA different, but it is different. So Jordan Romano will join us. We're still waiting for the Ask Barry Davis questions to start piling up again. Maybe, Tom, you got to start digging deep through my inbox, through my mentions. There's only like 6,000 mentions. Somewhere there must be a question.
I'll find some questions.
Yes, well, for next week. We'll get questions next week. So we will not have an Ask Barry Davis. We have not done a poll yet. We are really lagging. But we're just getting this thing.
We're just getting started.
We're just getting started again. But when we return, what we will have, folks. Oh, and we will have a visit from Raj Sapaya. So that's cool. Raj this week is going to talk about all these weird wraps that guys have around their arms and their legs, and what are they for? Why do they work? Do they really help? So we're going to talk about braces and wraps with Raj Sapaya this week. When we return, though, folks, we're not only going to talk about what we like and what we don't like about the 2020 Blue Jays so far this season. I also want to make note of a Hall of Famer who passed away this week and one of the best to ever play the game. There is Tom Forth. I'm Barry Davis, and this is Out of the Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, the first pitch with Barry Davis.
And the first pitch is still brought to you by Nobody. So, hey, folks, if you are a business owner and you would like to have us say the first pitch is brought to you by your company, and we just talk glowingly about your company for 5 minutes.
And all the wonderful things your company does.
Exactly. Hit us up. You know, you can contact me. You know how to find me on social media. And we'll work something out because this is what we love to do. And it helps us as well. All right, for the first pitch today, before we get into Blue Jays talk, sad news this past week is Tom Seaver passed away at the age of 75. And many of you who are probably too young to know much about Tom Seaver or ever have watched him pitch, I was really lucky because Tom, one of the first ball games I ever remember going to was in 1976, the year before the Jays were even in existence. Yeah. And I have a lot of family that live in Illinois, so we'd go to Chicago in the summer for a week or two. And my brother and I secured a pair of tickets. I don't know how we got them because I was like, 9 years old. But tickets to see a scheduled doubleheader between the Cubs and the Reds. This was the 1976 Cincinnati Reds. They were talking the big red machine.
The red machine.
Right? We're talking Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, Pete Rose, go on and on and on. You know, this was a team. And I had a chance. Actually, you know what? It was 77. So I correct myself. It was 1977. Okay. It was the first year of the Toronto Blue Jays in their existence. And Tom Seaver began that year with the New York Mets, then went to Cincinnati in that season. So they played a doubleheader with the Chicago Cubs, and Tom Seaver pitched the second game of the doubleheader. And I remember just watching this guy going, this guy is just unfreaking believable. And just think about this for a second, folks. Okay, during the course of a 20-year career, he had 311 wins, okay? He had an ERA of 2.86, and he had seasons of 1971, he finished the season with a 1.76 ERA. In 73, he finished with a 2.08 ERA. He had 18 complete games in 1973. There won't be 18 complete games in an entire season anymore.
In the entire MLB.
Pitched 290 innings that year. Pitching over 270 innings was a normal thing for him in those years. Yeah. And that's what we used to see.
Now it's the normal thing for an entire starting staff.
Exactly. I mean, in his first year, his rookie year, he was an all-star. He was rookie of the year. He was, you know, in the top vote-getters for the Cy Young Award. I mean, this guy did it all. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer, got 98.8% of the vote, so some idiot decided not to, you know.
Someone's always got to ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah. Won 3 Cy Youngs. This guy was great. And for those, again, that were too young to have watched him, go on YouTube and check out the 69 Mets, okay? Because that was the miracle Mets of 69. Yep. And you'll get to see just what this guy was made of and some of the incredible things that he did as a pitcher in 1969 when he went 25-7. Okay, 25 wins that year, right? So, and he also pitched 18 complete games that year as well.
No, just 18.
18, yes, it's just 18 complete games. So there you go. So again, Tom Seaver passing away this past week at the age of 75. Okay, Toronto Blue Jays. I don't think anybody expected that they would be, you know, in contention in a playoff spot. Again, I don't think any of us could really expect anything because we never knew what to expect going into this season.
It was weird to gauge going in because everything was so different. And like, I know I wasn't happy with a lot of the moves that happened after 2016, but that's because I'm a fan. It's not my business to build and run a team.
Right.
But I was really happy with the moves that they made over the offseason this year. And I was feeling really good about the season going into it. And then, yeah, everything gets thrown in the air and who knows where it lands. But it looks like it's landed somewhere pretty darn good.
Yeah, and it's just fun to watch, regardless. And I found it fun to watch at times last year, especially seeing Bichette and Biggio and Vladimir Guerrero and Gurriel and all the young kids out there. But this is how I can gauge. This is how I gauge how well the Blue Jays are doing. The better the Blue Jays are doing, the more people gripe and complain about them on Twitter. And the social media complaints, specifically about Charlie Montoyo.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it took a week into the season where people were saying, this guy's got to go. Well, again, I'm not saying he's a great manager, and I'm not saying he's a bad manager, but what I'm saying is, the Toronto Blue Jays are performing as a team better than anyone expected them to be performing right now.
Yep.
They're in contention for a playoff spot.
Yep.
They're doing quite well. Now, does Charlie Montoyo deserve all the credit? No. But does Charlie Montoyo deserve all the criticism he's getting? Probably not either. I've said the exact same things about John Gibbons as well. And people are like, oh, you're just an apologist. No, I'm not an apologist. I'm just saying that if you're not going to give the manager credit for wins, then don't give him all the blame when things don't go well. Now, does this team need to do a better job with some of the fundamentals? Yes. But you're also talking about a very young baseball team that are going to make mistakes that young players make. Most glaringly are the base running mistakes that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, I'm always okay with aggressive mistakes. I'm more okay with aggressive mistakes than tentative mistakes. Mm-hmm. Now that's more when it comes to fielding, right? Mm-hmm. I would rather somebody, you know, go for it and misplay a ball than, you know, not even give an effort to get the ball.
Yeah.
Right. Or be tentative and, you know, oh, when I lose the ball or make a bad throw or whatever. Right.
Right.
That I can understand. The base running, it's just a mindset, and they have to get that right mindset to realize, know the situation you're in, know who you are as a runner. And there was an example that happened earlier in the week where the Blue Jays were in Boston and there were two out. Vladimir Guerrero was on first. Lourdes Gurriel hits a shallow fly ball. It gets dropped. Vladdy ends up at third. So you're looking at, you know, two on and two out, and that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, then Vladdy notices that the two Red Sox players are kind of fooling around. They're not really getting the ball in. So he's, I think I'm going to steal a run. Well, as soon as, I think it was Devers, Rafael Devers saw that, he threw him out easily, like by a lot. And the thinking is, okay, is Vladdy really stupid for running? Or do you give him some credit for being aggressive and trying to steal a run? Mm-hmm. Well, if this was Anthony Alford, then I'd say, yes, do it.
Yep.
But this is Vladimir Guerrero. So this is about knowing who you are, knowing that I don't have the wheels to do this. So maybe don't try to do this. Yeah. Right? So that's the one that I, you know, I think of. So it's just a matter of, you know, cutting down on the silly mistakes that are being made.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you with the young club. You know, fact basically is that it doesn't matter how good your manager is. How many players on this team are within the first, say, three to 5 years of
the majority of them?
Bingo. So what manager are you going to put in there? Like that Vladdy example, I saw people going after Montoya on Twitter. And I think Wilner jumped in and was kind of, you know, trying to defend him. You know, what could Montoya have done? Like run out in the field and whisper in Vladdy's ear? Or, you know, there's definitely, I think, a little bit of leeway that we have to give to this team. You know, would we rather have a team that maybe tries a little bit too hard, makes a couple of mistakes now with her all in their early 20s? And, you know.
And that's the funny thing, because what I brought up off the top is that the Jays fans, especially the social media fans, give this team more grief when they're in first place than they do when they're in last place.
But maybe that's just a Twitter thing. Like maybe just more people tweet about them, and when people tweet, they're angry.
I guess. This is true. This is true. Something else happened this past week that was rather interesting. So the Blue Jays have this left-handed hitter they pick up, Vogelbach or whatever his name
Vogelbach,
was.
Yeah.
They get rid of him. They DFA him. And then the Milwaukee Brewers pick him up and DFA Justin Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. Justin Smoke's numbers, 33 games with the Milwaukee Brewers, okay? Five home runs, 15 RBIs, hitting 186 with an OBP of 262. These are not good numbers. His OPS was 642. These are not Justin Smoke numbers. These are not very good numbers. You can easily say Justin Smoke is having a crappy year. He didn't have a great year at the plate last year with the Jays. But the thing is, he's a veteran guy who can help a baseball team. He's a switch hitter. Fantastic fielder. Great in the clubhouse. To have him lose his job to a guy who spent, what, 2 days, 3 days with the Blue Jays and just didn't look good at all.
Yeah.
Right?
It looked weird.
It just looked really weird. It's like, why do you need this guy? You've got Rowdy Tellez, a left-handed hitter, similar build, right? Why do you need to add another Rowdy Tellez to this team? And now Milwaukee adds him in place of Justin Smoke. I wish Justin nothing but the best. I really hope he finds another job somewhere. I know a lot of Blue Jay fans are saying, bring him back to Toronto, bring him. And you know what? My heart says bring him back to the Toronto. But really, where do you put this guy right now? Where does he fit on this Toronto Blue Jays team?
Well, I mean, we could move Vladdy somewhere.
Where? Right? And again, I know, listen, young players all develop at different rates, okay? This has been the year where we've really seen Kevin Biggio jump leaps and bounds.
Yep.
Right? Don't look at his batting average. Look at his on-base percentage. Look at, you know, where he hits the ball. Look at his overall game, and he's been phenomenal. Right? Bo Bichette has been great out of the gate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Vladimir Guerrero, there's way too much potential to be giving up on this kid right now. Does he make a lot of mistakes? Yes. Is he pretty much now limited to being a first baseman and a DH? Yes. But does he have potential to be a huge slugger in this game? Absolutely he does. So let's give it time. Again, I always look at the 2020 season as a bit of a mulligan. And whatever you get is gravy.
Yeah.
And right now, this team's getting smothered in gravy. Right? I'll take whatever I can get. I was really pleasantly surprised to see the Blue Jays be as active as they were at the trade deadline.
Yes, I know.
And again, deadline now, this time of year, is just, again, really bizarre.
It was a weird trade deadline. Like, it just seemed wrong about it, right? Like, it sort of came out of nowhere, like everything this season, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, you look at the paper or you look at the TV and, oh, it's that. Yeah. That's happening.
Almost as bizarre as watching playoff basketball in September.
Yeah.
You know, that is also kind of bizarre. And by the way, I don't know where we are in the series as you're listening to this, but game three of that Raptors Celtics series was one of the most incredible things I've seen.
Yep.
You know,
the power of sport to make someone's night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you, in all honesty, I had a tweet written, and the tweet said, You know, I missed the good old days when the Raptors were winning playoff basketball games, and I was going to hit send, and I figured, you know what? Always best to wait until the game's officially over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, he hits the shot. So that was really cool. Anyways, we're off topic. We're completely off topic. So whenever we go off topic, Tom, that tells us that it's time to shift gears. And this is normally the part of the podcast where we would do the Ask Barry Davis segment. It's been a staple of Out of the Park since day one. But we've had, and maybe people have attempted to send questions. Our website has been down because it was inactive and then it got hacked. So we are now in the process of trying to rebuild our broken website. It's not in very good shape right now. It's a mess.
It's hurting.
It's hurting really bad. So we're trying to piece it back together. So the best way to send questions for Ask Barry Davis would be to send them by adding me and our hashtag Ask Barry Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing would be is that you could DM them to Tom.
Yeah, send them right to me. DM them to me. Which, so @4_Thomas, and that's on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, One Foot at a Time. And my DMs are open on both accounts, or Facebook, just Tom Forth.
Okay, perfect. So send the questions, because I'll answer anything, really. Mm-hmm. I'm an open book. I may not tell the truth with my answers. I may lie, but you can ask me anything. I will answer it.
Yep.
Just may not answer it with the truth.
Exactly. Well, that's okay. You know what? If I find that you're not being truthful and forthright with these answers,
right,
I'm going to start really openly encouraging some wacky questions.
All right. I'm up for that.
Foundation Physiotherapy presents The Medical Room.
We are here at Foundation Physiotherapy on Front Street, three locations in the GTA. One of them is in the Core, one in Corktown. I'm getting really good at memorizing this. And ladies and gentlemen, how would you like to get a free massage from Foundation Physiotherapy? All you have to do is buy a wonderful Fueled by Foundation t-shirt. For those watching the video, myself and Raj are wearing these shirts. They look great. They feel nice, soft material.
Yes, that's the feedback we've been getting.
Yes, so how does one acquire one of these t-shirts, and how does one qualify for the grand prize?
So just a little bit of info. This is our comeback campaign to help support our clinics after being closed due to COVID, our staff and our clinics. We did not increase the fees for our patients. We understand everyone's struggling right now, but this helps us rebuild. And how we're managing this promotion is you purchase a t-shirt, it's $25. You can go online to our website, or you can come into any of our clinics, pick one up. Wear it on social media, #FueledByFoundation, and every month we'll draw a winner to win a wellness package, more than just a massage. We'll be massage, some pain relief creams, some massage balls. It's a great little package to help you relieve your stress from home, and we'll draw a winner every month. Thanks for your support.
Raj, when you watch specifically the NBA, players are really big on fashion. Now, you see, at one time, the NBA, you wore shorts and you wore a cutoff shirt or whatever they call those basketball shirts. A lot of skin is exposed. Yeah. Nowadays, you don't have much skin exposed because they've got sleeves up and down their arms, their legs, they got braces on. What really is the purpose of a sleeve and or a brace other than them trying to look great?
well, the theory behind these compression sleeves is they are compression, right? So the theory behind compression technology, or just compression as a therapy, is that compression keeps the muscles working a little bit more, right? It allows the blood flow to flow easier. It keeps it within those muscles in which they're going to be overusing. So in basketball players, we typically see it like even up the arm into the shoulder, right? We see it across the knees, up into the thigh. It's just to allow them to help those muscles stay contracted and power up quicker.
Sometimes when we put something on that's too tight, we say that, it's cutting off my circulation. Yeah. Do you want it? How tight do you want these compression sleeves to be? Because I know that when I put one on, and I'm wearing kind of a compression brace, would you call this?
You're wearing a brace, not a compression sleeve, but yes.
But with this compression, when I feel it tightened up, that's the first feeling that I get, like, my circulation's being cut off. How do you know whether or not you have it on too tight?
I think compression is going to be probably even tighter than this brace, okay? It's going to be tight. The purpose of compression is to promote a lot of circulation, but you have to be moving. If you're not moving, it's not gonna feel, it's gonna feel like it's tight. So if you're wearing a compression sleeve and you're shooting ball and you're dribbling and all that, it's gonna help you promote, it's gonna help promote circulation. So it's very different based if just you and I just wore it, right? A compression brace is different. It's meant to just address one area in which you might have a little bit of pain or swelling. And this brace that you're wearing is meant more to compress, because I know you have some elbow pain, compress the elbow to help prevent pain and prevent the swelling.
Right. So when you're wearing a sleeve, you do have full motion, yeah, and your arms, your legs, yeah, it, there's just that tight feeling,
exactly,
kind of surrounding you. A brace is a totally different thing because it is what the word is. It braces you.
Correct.
It holds something in place. Yeah. So why would you want, other than, say, a broken leg? You see people a lot of times wearing a knee brace or an arm brace or what I'm wearing, yeah, which is this little elbow brace. What exactly is the purpose of the brace?
And so again, we're not going to be bracing a fracture. That's going to be a cast. That's a cast. So if we have a broken joint or a broken bone, we're casting it. That's very different. That's a hard cast. A brace is going to be something for soft tissue, right? So it's going to be for ligaments, muscles. And what it's doing, Barry, is if you did not have to work, because I know you got to use your arm for work and lifting and all that stuff, I wouldn't even recommend the brace. What the brace allows us to do is it allows us to help you heal while still doing your job, right? So if you were off rest for 4 weeks, I might say don't wear the brace, just do all your exercises. But the brace helps us function. It helps us get our job done while having to prevent pain and extra swelling.
So if I'm not doing any lifting at a particular time, the brace isn't really going to do much to help.
No.
But could it hurt? Do I have to take it off when I'm not lifting?
I would recommend take it off because, again, this is a brace. It's not a compression sleeve. So it's going to restrict blood flow. And the other thing, it's going to give your muscle a false sense of security. So if you're at home doing like your physio exercises and you're wearing a brace, you're not actually giving the muscle its proper strength. But if you're at work and you don't have time to do your physio exercises, 100% wear that brace. It's meant to help you and brace you.
Is it all right then to wrap something, if not in a compression sleeve, just a tensor bandage, like say you put some ointment on, some cold stuff, is it okay to wrap it just to give it that sense of just that coolness feeling?
100%. Like if, and this is all of this guy, again, remember, this is all based on what your physiotherapist or your chiropractor tells you to do and practice, right? Please don't try to do these things completely on your own. It's always good to consult with somebody. But yes, if you need to ice and wrap, that can help with reducing swelling, that can help with reducing pain. But again, these are not full-time permanent strategies. I don't want you wearing a brace forever.
Right.
I want you to wear a brace for you to be able to do your job. And then on weekends or in evenings or not working, I want you to stretch, strengthen, and get this elbow stronger. So in 6 weeks from now, you don't have to be wearing this brace.
It does look cool, I do have to admit. But brace for it, folks.
It's the only cool thing about it, though.
Thing
about you.
Thank you. Brace for it, Raj. This thing's coming off my arm right now. There's Raj Sapaya from Foundation Physiotherapy.
All right, up next. He has been one of our favorites here on Out of the Park, and we get to talk to him for the first time in a new role. Jordan Romano up next. There's Tom Forth. I'm Barry Davis, and this is Out of the Park.
And now, In the Dugout with Barry Davis.
Well, the last time this gentleman was on Out of the Park, he was still a minor league ball player working his way up to the majors. And then he makes it to the Jays, and we never hear from him again. So we figured, you know, what the hell, man? We're getting big league by the big leaguer. But no, he's here. Jordan Romano joins us here on Out of the Park. Man, a lot has transpired since the last time we spoke. You can't even really say how's life in the big leagues because 2020 is completely different than anybody will ever experience in a career, right?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on again. Appreciate that. And it's definitely a really unique year this year. A lot's changed even from last year. We were in Toronto and now we're playing in Buffalo. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I was just really happy we get a chance to play. You know, there's a lot of people out of work and stuff, so I'm just glad I could, you know, have a job and play ball. And I think a lot of the guys on the team feel the same way.
Now, it kind of sucks that you got yourself injured because you're pitching so bloody well. How is the middle finger? And aside from the fact that you can't tell anybody to F off with your hand anymore, how is it?
You know, it's getting a lot better. It's pretty amazing, like, you know, what the body can do. Like, every day, it's just it's getting better. And, hopefully I'm back here, not before too long.
Yeah, so that was the last little bit of information that the team releases, that they're hoping to get you back in September.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any timetable for when you're going to start throwing, or are we still kind of on tenterhooks waiting for the healing to happen?
You know what? That's the thing with this injury. It's kind of like uncommon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen to a lot of players. So it's just honestly, it's how I'm feeling, and we're kind of going from there. So, you know, I'm hoping I can get thrown here in maybe a week. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of build from there. So, but again, it's based on how I'm feeling. But I have been feeling a lot better these last couple of days.
The most important question is, how has it affected your ability to play video games?
Oh yeah, you know what? I'm not playing any right now.
Oh man!
So I'm just giving it. Yeah, I know. I'm giving it a complete rest.
Right. I mean, the middle finger is not usually one of the prime digits used, but still. Right,
it still gets some use though,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I'm just laying off everything, making sure not taking any chances there.
So Jordan, in a normal year, when a player is on the DL, they would likely, if they're going to be gone for a while and they need treatment, they'd head off to Florida and be with the other injured players, and you know you work your way up, then you do a rehab assignment, and then you're back. What is the drill? Because it's even changed for you over the last few days. Because when we talked to you earlier, you were in Rochester, and now you're mm-hmm. in Buffalo. So what happens to a player once they are, sorry, I should say injuredless. I still call it DL. So it's still a DL to me. But so what happens to a player when they are injured now?
So, you know, like you said, usually if this were to happen, I don't know if I'd be going down to Florida. Like, that's usually for like longer injuries. I might still been able to stay with the team, but yeah, a lot of guys do go down to Florida. But this year, since, you know, I don't know if it's you know, as safe down there in Florida.
You think?
Yeah. So they sent me to the alternate site in Rochester when the team was on the road. Just, I think it's a little easier, and especially with COVID, I don't know if they want a lot of people traveling, you know, that don't 100% have to be there. But, you know, the guys down here are great, getting really good treatment, seeing a lot of the buddies I was playing with throughout the years here. So it's just kind of good to be back, honestly, seeing a bunch of guys.
So, you know what, I do have a question about the injury, because, you know, you'd mentioned that it is a unique injury, and it's a bit of a rare one. Was it something like, you know, I know the appearance where they had pulled you out, obviously some discomfort happened right away. Was it on a particular throw that you let go and it just came off the finger wrong, or was it a cumulative thing that was just kind of, you know, you were trying to push through it until you couldn't anymore?
You know what? No, it wasn't. You know, it wasn't like a cumulative thing. I felt actually my great, like shoulder felt great, elbow mm-hmm. felt great, body felt great, and it was just it was mostly just the last pitch there that I threw. I threw a slider, and something didn't really feel right in that finger, and you know, it went numb out there, and it started mm-hmm. swelling up. So I thought, you know, that was the time to kind of.
Better,
you know, get some help there.
Yeah, especially if it's something that you've never had before. I mean, you know, whether you're a pro athlete or anybody, you feel a little tweak or you feel a twinge. You're like, okay, I know what that is. I've had that before. But if it's something you've never experienced before, it's got to give you a bit of a fright, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because, you know, when you have maybe a little arm soreness or your legs are sore, like you kind of expect that and you've felt that 100 times before. But with this, yeah, you're right. I haven't felt anything even close to this. You know what I mean? You don't really think about your fingers too much when you're pitching, other than maybe like a blister or something like that.
Don't say the B word, man. That's a bad word, man. We don't want to hear.
I won't say that anymore.
But how long before you got the feeling back again?
So the next couple of days, like the swelling started going down, but after, I'd say, I kind of, maybe a couple hours after the game, like it started kind of regaining that feeling, and it felt kind of normal again. So yeah, I'd say a couple hours.
That's a long time to have no feeling in that finger. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a pro athlete, and I know you guys have, you know, higher tolerances of pain and stuff, but I'd be like freaking right out, man.
Yeah, I was kind of freaking out until, you know, the training staff kind of assured me like it wasn't that major of a thing, and, you know, and they kind of told me what to expect the next couple of days. So they calmed me down there.
I remember when we talked to you, probably one of the first times, and you talked about, you know, you'd want to be a starter, and everybody wants to be a starter, right? And the thing is, you have kind of morphed into this great role as, you know, you're a closer potential, you know what I mean? And whether it's the eighth inning or ninth inning, you're a guy who can get these big outs. Are you enjoying this role now? Are you starting to think, okay, you know what? Maybe this is actually more for me than starting. Because let's face it, Jordan, starting pitchers are not starting pitchers anymore. It's not like the days of, you know, the late, great Tom Seaver, who would put in 300 innings a year. The role of a starting pitcher has changed so much. So are you adapting more or accepting more of this role?
Yeah, I definitely am. So this was kind of the first offseason, you know, going into the next season where I knew I'd be a reliever. So that was kind of nice to know, train for that. And yeah, like you said, like I'm really enjoying being a reliever now. And it's funny to think that like I used to throw, you know, 6-7 innings. Now, when I think about doing that, I'm like, man, how did I ever do that? Like, one inning's good for me now, you know, but, with the Blue Jays here, we have a, you know, a great bullpen. Everyone down there is really fighting for each other. So it was really awesome just to like experience that, you know, like a bunch of guys just really fighting for each other, all good guys down there. So it was a really fun time.
So let's go back to before the injury, playing in this bubble, playing in this COVID type of thing. And unlike the NBA and the NHL, I mean, those guys are trapped in the same city. Everyone's playing in the same venue. But, I mean, for the spring/summer training you guys had, guys were cooped up in the Rogers Center Hotel, right? So what was life like? And you're so bloody close to home. It's like, man, my home in Markham is like right up the street. And now I'm stuck in this hotel. What was that like for you guys?
Yeah, so you know, like you said there, when we flew into Toronto, and then you know we bused to the Rogers Center, and just seeing all those like familiar buildings and the familiar roads, you know, it really reminds you of home. And it did kind of suck not being able to go home, you know, see my family because I haven't seen them in a long time. But after a couple of days, you kind of adjust. You know, it's a lot of time in your room. Yeah, I mean, you're kind of, you know, I guess you just have to adjust. It wasn't, they did everything they could for us though, you know, to make us feel comfortable. So, which was a really good thing, but yeah, definitely a little different.
Do they actually have maid service during COVID? Like, do they have someone coming in and do your room every day?
No, they didn't. I'm trying to think if they had one at all. I don't think they did. I think, you could exchange your towels, like you could put your towels outside your door and they would replace them with new ones. But I don't think they wanted too many people in the room. So I don't know if the maids cleaned that often.
So no chocolate.
Maybe once or twice, but not every day.
So no chocolates under the pillows or anything. That kind
of
sucks.
No, none of that.
So, you know, speaking about that bubble that you, you know, that the baseball players are kind of existing in right now, you know, it seems a shame. We've had some fantastic athletes come out of Markham. And, you know, in terms of pitchers, you're certainly by far the best thing that's come out of Canada in terms of relief pitching in quite some time. And, you know, it's a shame, I think, that it's happening in this strange bubble year, you know, being in that bubble. Do you have any appreciation for the impact that you are having as a Canadian reliever going?
You know what? Like you said, like I would really, enjoy kind of, you know, fans coming to the game. I always liked, you know, talking to them pregame and postgame, signing autographs and stuff. So you are missing kind of that fan interaction. You know what I mean? But you know, I've gotten a lot of support, like, you know, people will message me, friends back home. So like, I still know they're all watching and like supporting, but yeah, I mean the fan interaction part, you know, one-on-one with the fans, that's something that you can't really replace. So I'm hoping for next year, you know, we can go back to normal.
When you guys would be on the road, would it basically be, You go from the airport to the hotel, and then as a team, you go from the hotel to the stadium? Or like if you're sitting there, say, okay, Jays are in Boston right now. Say you're with them in Boston and it's a night game. You're like, shoot, I feel like going over and get some Chipotle. Can you do that or are you stuck?
You're kind of stuck, honestly. It's like you said before, it's just, you know, you're going field to the hotel and, you know, field to the airport, that kind of thing. And whenever I'm getting food, it's just Uber Eats,
yeah,
you know, right mm-hmm. to the door. In Toronto, we weren't even allowed like down the lobby. They would bring up the food to us.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty strict, but I think like if you want to, you know, get a coffee or something like that, stop in, you can do that. You just have to notify someone, if you're doing it, but most guys just, you know, Uber Eats, order in, stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's just safer that way.
Did you ever sign for any of the cardboard cutouts? Any attempting to just go over and just sign for one of them?
The cutouts?
I stunned you there, right? Yeah, you know, you see one of the cardboard cutouts.
I don't think I've signed for any of the cardboard cutouts.
But, you know...
They don't appreciate it like the real
no,
fans.
No, they don't.
You know?
Yeah, but
they never say thank you.
Yeah, but they don't hound you either, right? You know, and that's the thing too, right? I mean, you're on the road. You know, you're used to hearing, you know, the fans cheering against you and you're getting heckled and you're getting yelled at. I'm sure you've heard tons of shit over the years. And now you're playing in this quiet, empty, like, I know in say, basketball especially, it's like you really know the crowd's not there. Do you ever think when you're on the mound, does it ever hit you? Like, wow, this is just weird.
You know what? They actually do a pretty good job of, they have fan noises and crowd noises. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's not the same, but... it does bring like a little atmosphere to the game, but you know, when you're on the road, it is nice. Like when you're in the bullpen, you don't have fans kind of making fun of you. So that is a positive.
Yeah. And when you guys played at the Drop, it was just like any other game, right? I mean, just the same amount of fans that are there prior, right?
That place is usually pretty empty. So not too big of a change.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just so bizarre to think of, you know, the lifestyle you guys are going through. And I tell you what, the first week of the season when we heard of all these players getting COVID, I was thinking, this thing ain't going to last more than 10, 15 games. Were you, any of you guys or yourself kind of thinking, okay, how long is this thing actually going to last?
You know, personally, yeah, I was thinking that because, you know, the first 2 weeks, you know, there was a lot of positive tests. And you kind of just, you know, you're watching – you know, ESPN or SportsCenter, and you're hearing all about that. So it's easy to think about like worst case scenario there.
Yeah.
But like for me, I felt it was better. Like if I didn't keep up with that stuff as much, because that kind of would take away a little bit from your play on the field. You know, if you're thinking about, oh, you know, we might not even play. So, you know, what's the big deal? So I kind of tried to stay out of that, but yeah, that thought definitely did come into my head, especially the first couple weeks of the season.
Speaking of COVID, have you had to have a COVID test done?
Oh yeah, we test every other day here.
Wow.
So man. Yeah, we've had, I don't know how many tests that would be at this point, but
so what?
Probably 20 at least.
What causes more discomfort, the numb finger or the Q-tip up the nose?
Oh, so the Q-tip up the nose, by far.
Oh my god!
I've had it myself.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
See, like I haven't had it done.
Scratching your brain.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that is like. And do you get used to it? Like every other day, does it get to the point of, oh well, you know, I'm gonna have my morning coffee and they're gonna stick a Q-tip up my brain? Like you just get used to it.
So there's the good thing in this, after we left Toronto, like the summer camp, in the summer camp, that's when we were getting the nasal swab every other day. But now it's the spit test, which is way easier.
Oh,
spit test.
Okay. Tell us about the spit test. Cause I think I've heard about this somewhere, but so you just basically spit into a cloth or something, or
it's like a little vial. That's how I describe it. And you just have to spit into it. It probably takes like 5 minutes to fill it up and then you're done. It's pretty easy.
Wow. Speaking of spitting, they put in a lot of rule changes for this, including, you know, no, are you a finger licker?
Yes, I was a big finger licker before.
And how hard is it to not do it?
You know what? Like, even like the spitting and like the finger licking, like, you know not to do it, but it's like I've been doing this for, you know, the last 10 years on the mound, and that's always what I do. So it is kind of like hard to stop it. Sometimes your body just goes into autopilot, and you might, you know, you might end up doing it. But I think I've been pretty good about it. I don't know if I've been perfect. Like, you know, we're doing the best we can.
Well, it brings up a bit of a question, because all these changes in routines and things like that, you know, a lot of people are talking about the fact that you're not the first soldier to fall. There's been a lot of pitchers going down. Is there any part in the back of your mind that's thinking, man, if I could have just licked my finger, it would be okay?
Yeah, maybe that was the key.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not sure that had anything to do with it. Maybe, but
there is a lot of pitchers going down early this year, isn't there? And I mean, you'd have to think that the delayed spring training and the shortness of it, I mean, you guys are all creatures of habit, right?
Yeah, so I think especially for pitchers, like, I can't really speak for the position players, because I don't do what they do. But, you know, so you plan your off season to kind of ramp up during spring, right? And then in spring training, by the end there, I was like fully ready to go in games. Arm was, you know, fully ready. And then, you know, 2-3 month shutdown. And then trying to build back up, it definitely probably takes a toll on your arm, you know, more so than other seasons. So I think that's probably with the spike in pitcher injuries, that's probably, you know, has at least a small factor in it.
Okay, so the new rules this year. I hate the 7-inning doubleheaders just because I'm a purist and I like to see 9-inning baseball games. But starting extra innings with a runner on second, to me, is just insane. As a pitcher, I mean, you start the inning. I mean, you're a reliever, so you know there are going to be times you're going to come into the game and there's runners on base. But you start an inning and there's already a runner on second base. That's got to completely change the whole mindset of pitching.
Yeah, definitely. So the thing with me, though, I've been doing it the past 2 years in the minor leagues.
Oh, right. They had it there.
Yeah, so, like, I've been kind of, like, used to it. You know, it's definitely a huge change, though. Like, you know, when you first do it, you're like, you know, what the heck is this, runner on second? But I almost kind of got used to it. You know, I'm not saying I like it better, but I was a little more comfortable with it because that's what I've been doing the past 2 years, you know. But definitely something, you know, I don't know if the fans like it or not, but it is a big change.
Yeah, I think the jury's still out. Does it feel better or worse if that run from second comes around to score as a pitcher?
You know, it always sucks giving up runs. So
it's not your run, man.
I know, but it kind of feels the same, you know. Yeah. It's like still a runner scored, so it kind of feels the same if you let up a run, which kind of sucks.
The good news is that you know that the bottom half of the inning, if you're the home team, that your team is going to have that same opportunity, right? So much bunting, though, too, right? Like, are you thinking the majority of the time, if you're starting the 10th inning, that batter is going to probably lay down a bunt?
You know what? Usually that's what, you know, that's happens a lot. I've pitched in that situation once this year in Tampa. That run did score, but no other ones did. And, yeah, it was definitely weird. I was expecting the bunt, but they never bunted. So. Mm.
Does that change your mindset as a pitcher? If you know that bunt is going to get dropped down, does that affect your game as you're setting for the windup and delivering?
Yeah, you're definitely thinking about, you know, when you're delivering the pitch, like where you need to be for the bunt play. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're definitely kind of thinking ahead there. You know, if he does bunt, like what do you need to do and stuff like that. So it changes a little bit, but late in games, there are like a lot of bunts happening to try to move a runner, especially in like a one run game and stuff like that. So you're kind of always thinking about that. Mm-hmm.
Jordan, how cool is it, you know, when you were healthy and when you are healthy again, to look around the clubhouse and see all these faces that you came up with in the organization. Now all of you are on the big league team and this team is like in contention. And that's the cool thing about this short season is, you know, you get off to a fast start, you're right in it. But these are your guys. These are the guys you've been with for so long.
Yeah, I think I'm incredibly lucky. You know, I don't know how many other guys, you know, have the chance to play with. You know, there's probably 5 or 6 guys at least that I've played with for 3 years now. You know what I mean? And a lot of the other guys I've played with at least a year in the minors. So it's definitely really comfortable. You know, you're in the big leagues, but you're seeing a lot of the guys that you've kind of grown up through the system playing with. It's an awesome feeling. And so, you know, we are in the hunt right now and, you know, fully expecting to make the playoffs. And that's kind of like one thing that this team, we always expected to do. You know, I don't know if everyone else did, but, you know, with the talent, just looking around the locker room, like we all fully believe that we were going to be in the hunt this year.
There is part one with Toronto Blue Jay reliever Jordan Romano. There is more, folks. There is much more of Jordan Romano, and you can pick that up where we go through more of his journey to the big leagues. If you go to patreon.com, and I've got it right here, because, again, usually you go through the website to join, but you can't. So the best way to join, if you are already a member, it's easy. And if you have never been a member, it's also easy. patreon.com/outofthepark. And you'll see our page right there, and there'll be a little section there that says Become a Patron. You click that, and then you can join for as little as $3 a month.
So that's patreon.com/outofthepark?
That's correct.
patreon.com/outofthepark.
/outofthepark. You are a member already.
I am a member.
You should be getting paid, not paying, but I do appreciate your support.
Well, it goes back in my pocket now, so, you know.
This is true. Yes, yes, yes. So, again, you'll hear part two of Jordan Romano. You'll hear part two of Anthony Alford, and that was a pretty deep part too, and a number of others. We have kept all of our content from the time we started doing these member shows. It's all there, folks, for you to listen to, so please check it out. It'll be posted on Wednesday, part two with Jordan Romano. So that will do it for this week's edition of Out of the Park. A reminder, if you are a music fan, our new music show, it's an old music show that is being revitalized. Sessions will make its relaunch debut on Friday, September the 11th. You can hear it on News Talk Saga 960. It will also be podcasted, and this one will be up on Spotify as well. We got to figure a way to get Spotify to do the Out of the Park, but they don't work with SoundCloud for some reason. So anyway, you can listen to Sessions, and our guest in week one will be the drummer and founding member of Widemouth Mason. You say it.
Safwan Javed.
There you go. And I've always been booting it, and I feel bad about that.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Yes. You're getting better every time you try.
There it is. Oh, thank you very much. All right, Tom, thank you so much, as always. I always would end these shows with Matt by insulting him. You're a big boy, and I'm just afraid that if I insult you, I might just get crushed.
No, fair. Like I would take Matt in a fight. Like I would bet on Matt to beat me in a fight.
Yeah?
Oh, he's way tougher than me.
Really?
Look, he's a drummer.
Okay.
That guy is like he's like a walking like brick.
Yes. Okay.
He would hurt you, Barry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can make fun of me.
Tom, you are a phenomenal bass player, an incredible guitarist, but my God, your beard needs work.
Wow.
Folks, thank you so much for making us a part of your week.
You've been listening to Out of the Park with Barry Davis. Thanks for joining us. Get home safely and see you next time.